Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The sermon text today is John 15, 1 through 8. Some of this may sound very similar to what we just heard from 1 John 4 about our lives being connected to each other and not being able to live apart from each other. That kind of thing shows up in this passage too. John 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says these words: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me, and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for being the vine that gives us life. Fill us with life anew, even in this moment as we gather our minds and our hearts around your word. Break open this feast for us that we might be nourished by it and strengthened for the life that you have given us to live. Be with our children as they're downstairs, and the leaders as they're teaching them, and those that are far away from us today, for one reason or another, remind them of your great love too. That we might all be united in you is our goal and our request. Walk with us through this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God is alive and well in many parts of this world. Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at various nations in this world, not country, that doesn't make any sense, nations in this world that we support through our various missions, opportunities, and ministries. We looked first at the Ivory Coast in Western Africa, the orange, white, and green flag represented here. Our missionaries, Bobby and Jenny Meisel, are there teaching this month in Ibao, the school that is there. They're teaching a class in world religions, in French, which is a new language for both of them. In the middle, you see the flag of Kenya. Last week, we looked at the nation of Kenya and the school KIST, K-I-S-T, the Kima International School of Theology that our ladies group supports and has for a number of years, and the good work that's being done there. They're both in Africa, Ivory Coast and Kenya, but they're 3,000 miles apart from each other. It's like New York and San Francisco. They're that far apart. Africa's a huge place. Today we look at Guatemala, a nation that we are a little bit more familiar with, at least personally. Many of us have gone to Guatemala. A show of hands, how many of us have actually made the trip to Guatemala? See, this is, a significant portion of us. And I hope in years to come that more hands can go up, that more of us will make this trip as we continue to have connections with the folks in Central America, another part of the world in which the Word of God is alive and moving in very meaningful ways. I had an opportunity a week or so ago to have a Skype conversation with David Beam, who is the missionary that we know in Guatemala. There are many missionaries in Guatemala, but he is the one that we know and that we have partnered with to build houses in that part of Guatemala City. And he sent some greetings to us by way of the video recording that I was able to make of the Skype conversation, like we've had in the past couple of weeks, too. So I'd like you to see this video. Just a little word of warning. Computers are kind of funny things sometimes. The audio is perfect, so if you want to close your eyes, it's great. but there's some kind of funny things that go on with the video. It turns out that the computer was updating its antivirus software while this conversation was happening, and there's nothing I could do about it. So anyway, if you see some windows show up, that's what's going on. I'm trying to keep it anyway. Heather, would you show us the video of David Bean?
I want to thank the church so much for your personal participation. A lot of churches, they send help, but they don't send people. And to actually personally be involved is a very special thing. And I know for everybody that came and participated, they gave a blessing and received a blessing. And we're so thankful for that and hope you come back again next year. I think that one of the things that we'd like to ask the church to pray about for the country of Guatemala is that this is election year here. Every 4 years they elect, it's a democratic process here, but they elect a president. And it's a crucial time in this country because we don't have very good candidates right now. The two main leading candidates, well, neither one seems to be too good. So we hope they're better than we think they are, but we hope we have a fairly good future here in Guatemala. So this election year, and it's very important that we get a new president that will be good for the country.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately in Guatemala, we've had a very... It's been very open to the gospel, and we have more religious freedom probably than in the United States. We can do a lot in the, we can go to the secular schools and we can share messages about the Lord and we don't get in trouble. So there's a lot of Christians here, but then there's a lot of bad things happening in Guatemala too. So you know how it is when, God's people are growing, you know, the devil's trying to do his best to stop things. Please pray for my wife, Domrice. I'm sending out a newsletter right now about her speaking and singing in the church at the tracks. She went through about a year of health problems. She's come out of it, and she's coming out strong again. And when we come to visit your church, hopefully, like her to share and sing.
Oh, sure.
She's the best part of our ministry, you know. I thank God for Domrice because that's why people help us. actually, when I speak in the churches, the people laugh. When she speaks in the church, the people reflect and cry. It's a good combination.
You're there.
Yes, yes. She brings conviction to the people's hearts, and I bring laughter. Okay, well, we have the shack attack, and we've built 34 houses. What I feel the Lord put in my heart was to build 50 houses. So we're getting there. We also have I call it the school jewel. We spent the last 2 years building the extension onto the school there at the tracks. The school has 225 children that go up to, from kindergarten to ninth grade, and they were overly crowded. We built a four-story extension, the top floor. It's all pretty much finished now. The floor's the open area that's used for the kids to play, a playground, and they play. Everything's so crowded. Just bumper-to-bumper little shacks in the area, and there's no open room. So I'm very excited about it and pleased and thrilled, actually, every time I see the kids playing up there now that they have space to run. We have what we call our site fight. 2 days ago, Domrice and I took two young girls, teenage girls, from the tracks area to get glasses. And so we're helping kids with their eye problems. We have what we call our plaque attack to help the kids. And we currently are helping around 10 kids with braces. So we're helping with some of their dental problems. And just recently been helping some of the kids with that have parasites, you know, and that's very common in the tracks area. and a lot of health problems. So we'd like to establish a clinic where we get a doctor to come in a couple times a week to help treat the people. We've done a couple clinics there at the school, and it's been very effective. We also want to establish a library. The school has never had a library, and so we're starting to collect some books in Spanish so they can check out books and learn, you know, learn to like to read.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad coming to Guatemala because I feel like they're going to be a perfect fit for our little team here. We have Sean and Lisa Bradley, who we work with, and now with Joe and Lawrence and Joe coming, and their daughter, I can see Lawrence, he has so much good hands-on experience. A lot of what we do is building, and I'm not a builder.
Right.
I just watch them do it, you know. But Lawrence is the kind of guy that wants to help, get his hands in there and help. I mean, he can head up building projects. I can see Lawrence, he's very gifted with his hands in fixing things, like cars. He can be a tremendous blessing to all of us to keep our cars running. Lawrence also has an ability to help with things like water filters that they need so much in that area. And I believe there's many ways that God is going to use both of them. I think that Joe is very gifted in detail, and I think she probably is going to be the person to help head up this child sponsorship program we have to sponsor the kids to go to the Christian school to make sure there's better feedback to the sponsors so they'll keep helping and
right.
know what's happening with the kids. I can't do it all. And between Lisa and Sean and Don Reese and myself, I think we're probably sponsoring around 125 kids or so. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
And I can see that Joe is very good at that kind of thing. And so I think both of them will be such a blessing to our team here. I think it'll come to the point when we have groups coming down, maybe to build a house, that Lawrence will just head it up. And I can come to Michigan and go fishing.
Hey, yeah.
I can see us working together as a team. So I'm very grateful for them wanting to come to work in Guatemala, and I think it'll work out just fine. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but an experience is worth 1,000 pictures. And so the combination of helping financially, but helping with your time, I think that's what missions should be in a church.
I agree.
So we appreciate it.
David is coming to Michigan later this month, late in May. He'll be in a couple of different places, Big Rapids and whatnot. He's going to be here in this area on June 7th, Sunday, June 7th, where at that evening, I think at 6 o'clock, is that right? In the 6 p.m., at the Meridian Church of God up on Meridian Road. He is going to be there at their pavilion, and they've invited us and Eagle Ridge and other, you know, all sorts of churches that know him to come, and we're going to have food and sharing, and you get to meet Damaris and David too if you haven't met him yet. So put that on your calendar. We'll make sure it's in the bulletin in future weeks. So it just got firmed up late this week about that date, June 7th. He'll be here. You get to see him in person. It's pretty exciting stuff. When we think about producing fruit, the metaphor that Jesus uses here in John 15, when we think about what it looks like to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, one image that comes to my mind is the image of David Beam in Guatemala. For 30-some years, he has lived there and seen so many different ministries spring up in this very impoverished community called The Tracks. Just to remind you, if those of you who haven't been there, it's literally an abandoned railroad track that shacks have sprung up around. It's not pristine real estate. It's in the middle of Guatemala City, a city of 4 million people, and this little community of 200-300 people lives there, and they live in very close quarters, and the conditions are not good. One of the biggest ministries that David has overseen over the past 30-some years is replacing those tin shacks that people live in with cinder block houses. that are more sanitary and more weather resistant and nicer places to live. It's been a major thing, a major improvement for that community. 34 houses down in his goal of 50, so he's got 16 more yet to go. And he and Lawrence and Joe, of course, they're not here today. I'm motioning to where they generally sit. Lawrence and Joe, as you know, are heading that way. They have made the decision to answer God's call to be missionaries in Guatemala, and they're heading in that direction. They're putting their house on the market. It's on the market now, I think. So if you're looking for a home, never mind. You probably have a home, I think. And besides, it's way north. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. They're getting their lives in order so they can move to Guatemala with their daughter Jenna to continue the work that's going on there. It's amazing stuff that's going on in that part of the world. And we have very, very meaningful connections with that ministry. In so many ways, the gospel of Jesus Christ is moving and transforming people in that community. David Beam is always very quick to give God the glory for what's going on in that ministry. It's not just his work. And if you listened carefully to what he said, he said that he can't do it all on his own. He knows that it takes many people and the Spirit of God moving to get anything done in that ministry. God receives the glory when the life of Jesus Christ produces fruit through David's ministry and through his relationship with the Lord. I think that attitude is the attitude that Jesus had in mind when he was telling his disciples this passage from John 15. I am the vine, the grapevine, and you are the branches. It has the same kind of feel to it. Let me set the scene for you in what Jesus and his disciples were experiencing at that point. They're walking together outside Jerusalem in the gardens outside the city. They have just shared the Passover meal together for what would be the last time. Jesus has just said to his disciples, this is my body and this is my blood. And then they ate and they drank. Jesus has just washed the feet of all 12 of his disciples, even Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. And he knows, Jesus does, that the time has come for his betrayal, his arrest, and his crucifixion. And so in these final moments, as they are walking together in the gardens outside of Jerusalem, Jesus is conveying to his disciples his final instructions, the last things that he wants to communicate, the most important stuff that he hadn't gotten in yet, so that they could hear it. But not all of them are there to hear it. Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Jesus, has already left. After sharing in the Lord's Supper, after having his feet washed by Jesus, he left to go on his errand of betraying Jesus to the authorities. He's not around while Jesus says these words. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any branch doesn't produce fruit, it's cut off and thrown out like a useless branch left to wither. Jesus is painfully aware of the reality of that saying, even in his own life. He realizes that the one who has not remained with him has become useless and will be thrown out, will wither, will be tossed onto the pile to be burned. It's not just a theoretical teaching from Jesus. It is tangible and is rooted in the relationships that he has with his disciples, both the good relationships and the bad ones. The point of this story from John 15 is not about condemning Judas for betraying Jesus. That's not what Jesus focuses on. The reason Jesus tells the story is to draw a contrast between two different approaches to spiritual life. Sometimes people like Judas ignore matters of real spiritual growth and assume that they can do their own work, they can produce their own fruit, they can be self-sufficient in living God-pleasing lives. Judas thought that he was doing the right thing when he went to turn Jesus over to the authorities. He thought he was doing what was right. People who take spiritual matters into their own hands are like branches of a grapevine that disconnect themselves from the vine. They don't stand a chance of producing fruit on their own. But that's why the grapevine exists. The reason a vine exists is to produce fruit. And if a branch is not producing fruit, what's it there for? The alternative to Judas's technique, Judas's ideas, is to remain connected to the vine and to draw on the life that it provides. A healthy branch remains connected to the vine, filled with life from the vine, will produce fruit that the vine is known for. Fruit that is a natural byproduct of a healthy relationship, a healthy connection between the vine and the branch. All of this is metaphorical language, vines and branches and whatnot. It's a metaphor for our spiritual lives. People who are deeply connected to Jesus will have lives that are full of the proof of his goodness. But people who simply pretend to know Jesus will be shown for what they are, empty branches, fruitless disciples, people who honestly are useless to the kingdom of God. So which kind of branch are you? This passage is a call for self-reflection on a personal level for each of us and on a collective level for us as a congregation. What kind of branch are we? What kind of fruit are we producing as a church? What evidence is there of our honest connection to Jesus? Are we engaging in practices of spiritual growth? Or do we believe that we can be self-sufficient in living as Christians? It's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't describe what the fruit should look like. He just talks about grapes and vines and whatnot. He doesn't say what the fruit is. How do we know what fruit it is, Jesus? What are we supposed to produce? He doesn't say here. He doesn't describe that. He doesn't even say how much we're supposed to produce. He just says that he'll know it when he sees it. He says that in the end, those disciples who know him will bring glory to God through the lives that they live and how they produce this spiritual kind of fruit. We all here today represent a variety of different ages, a variety of places in life. Some of us are retired, some of us are working, some of us want to be working, some of us don't want to be working yet, and are enjoying the school years still. Sometimes that feels like a lot of work too. We find ourselves in lots of different places in life. The idea of spiritual fruit and what that means and what that will look like will subsequently mean lots of different things for each of us, because we're all in different places in our spiritual lives. Perhaps for you, bearing spiritual fruit means actively wrestling with the doubts and questions that you have. Questions and doubts about who God is, who Jesus is, what this whole church thing is about. Maybe that's bearing spiritual fruit for you. Maybe bearing spiritual fruit, producing fruit, means committing to have a daily regimen of Bible reading and prayer. Maybe it looks like speaking to a friend or a family member about your relationship with God. Maybe it looks like modeling Jesus for your children or your grandchildren. Maybe it looks like taking a dinner to a neighbor who is in need and sharing that meal together. Maybe it looks like going to Guatemala for a week or for a few years or for the rest of your life. Whatever it looks like, whatever bearing spiritual fruit looks like in your life, it begins with a deepening of your relationship with Jesus Christ. None of the fruit that we can produce in our lives can be produced if we disconnect ourselves from the vine. It begins with a relationship with Christ. We are called to so integrate ourselves into the life of Jesus that his life becomes our life, that his fruitfulness becomes our fruitfulness, that his righteousness becomes our righteousness. Like the Apostle Paul writes later in the New Testament, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. On the one hand, it's not enough for a branch to be connected to the vine. It must also produce fruit. But on the other hand, no branch can produce fruit on its own without staying connected to the vine. So I ask you again, what kind of branch are you? What kind of branch do you want to be? What would it take for you to become that kind of branch? Our spiritual lives, I believe, are really very similar to the work that David Beam is doing in Guatemala. It seems like a world away. It's not really that far away. You could drive there if you had a huge tank of gas and didn't stop in Mexico. It's not always safe to stop in Mexico. But anyway, it's not that far away like the Ivory Coast or Kenya. Those are much further away than Guatemala is. Even though it seems so far away, it's not that much different than how we live. David is constantly looking for new ways to produce new fruit that is useful for the kingdom of God. Fruit among the people who live there at the tracks for the glory of God the Father. And over the span of these many years, David has shown a sensitivity to where God is leading him and leading that community to build homes, to provide schooling, to fix teeth, to provide health care facilities, to make other ministries available. But what comes through most clearly, whether you're talking with David on Skype or seeing him in person or visiting the tracks yourself, what comes through most clearly is that none of this work would be possible apart from relationship with Jesus Christ. David is always very careful to say that everything happens here because of the intangible activity of spiritual growth. There's a lot of tangible growth happening there, a lot of tangible things taking place at the tracks, but they all have their foundation in the intangible, inward spiritual development of the people who live there. The same is true for us here at home as well. We cannot produce fruit on our own. And we must constantly look for ways that we can be useful for God's kingdom, ways that grow out of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. So what can we do to develop this life in Jesus Christ? Let me offer three tangible responses that we can make to this word. First, we can commit ourselves to really honestly deepening our spiritual lives, making that a priority and a commitment that in our own private lives we will take the next step in our walks with the Lord. What will that look like? Well, I don't know. But if you don't know, let's sit down together and talk about it. What the next step in your relationship with the Lord might be. Take that next step. Make the commitment to grow in your spiritual life, because that's the foundation. We've got to be connected to the vine. Second, we can commit ourselves to producing fruit in our daily lives, in our local community, in the places that we find ourselves on an everyday basis, whether it's at home or at school or at work or at church even. And again, that might look different for you than for the person who's sitting next to you or across the aisle. And in fact, it will. The fruit that you can produce in your life is unique to you because you are unique. Did you know that? You need to be reminded of that every so often. You are unique. And if I could name each of you and not take half an hour to do it, and say, Dorothy, you are unique. Karen, you are unique. God has made you just exactly the way you are, and the fruit that you can produce is unlike any other fruit that can be produced by this vine. You are unique and crucial to the work of the kingdom of God in this place. The contribution that you can make to your school or to your work or to your family or even to your church or your community means something and means a lot. So commit yourself to producing fruit in your daily life in this local community. What will that look like? I don't know. If you don't know either, let's sit down and talk about it because it's important. And I believe in you. And I have great hope for what we can do as a church. Third, we commit ourselves to serving the kingdom of God around the world, not just in our local community, but around the world in the various nations that we've looked at, even, for instance, in Guatemala. What might this look like? Well, for instance, in Guatemala, you could pray for the ministry at the tracks. Perhaps you already are. If not, you could pray for those folks. Pray for David and his wife, Damaris. Pray for Lawrence and Joe as they begin their transition to life in Guatemala. You could support a child to attend the Christian school there in Guatemala City. It takes something like $30 a month. $30 a month to sponsor one child to attend the school there at the tracks. It's an amazingly cheap opportunity to provide education for someone. I mean, $30 is kind of a lot, but think of what it provides. Schooling for a child, kindergarten through ninth grade, where otherwise that would not exist. You could even sign up to go to Guatemala on our mission trip next year, next February. See Pastor Jerry. He's waving his hand. And at some point, Pastor Jerry, I know the R word is out there. Retirement. It's in your mind. We're praying it's not for another 10 or 20 years. Not for Guatemala. See? And even sometime down the road, if Pastor Jerry is unable to convene the trip, we'll find a way to get there. Those trips will continue. It's an important ministry that we have really caught on to here as a church. And I think it's important that we maintain that connection. I don't want to put you on the spot there, Jerry. I'm sorry. You could even contribute to the construction of houses there. It costs a certain amount of money, several thousand dollars, to build a house. We can send money to the tracks and help build homes. There are lots of ways that we can build fruit, produce fruit that are good for the kingdom of God. Let me talk about one just briefly here that has to do specifically with Lawrence and Joe Adams. Since they're not here, I can put them on the spot and they won't feel uncomfortable about it. They are raising support. This is what a lot of missionaries do. They need to raise financial support to be able to survive, buy groceries, buy supplies, and whatever they need to do. In another nation, lots of missionaries will do this. The Measles, Bobby and Jenny Measel, do this through Church of God Ministries, our parent organization, and we support them in that way. Lawrence and Joe Adams are going through the Foundation, which is David Beam and his brother Stephen Beam's organization. They're based in Florida, and they do work in Guatemala and other places. But that's their sending organization. They're raising support even now. If you would like to support them, I'm sure they would be deeply grateful for that. And I can speak on their behalf since they're not here. They need support, even monthly support, even now as they begin this transition, to make a way for them to get to Guatemala. Even if it's $5 a month, $10 a month, that would go a long way for them. So think on that and pray about it and talk with them about it. They're always happy to talk about their experiences and their hopes for what they will do in Guatemala. You heard just how much they will be used from David. They will be able to plug into the ministry there very well. Three things. We can deepen our spiritual lives. We can serve our community in meaningful ways. And meanwhile, we can keep an eye on the broader work of the kingdom of God in this world, partnering with what God is doing in other parts of this land. Our vision as a church, just to remind you, is that we will intentionally grow as disciples of Jesus and as servants in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. What Jesus says about the vine and the branches is crucial and instrumental to how we are to live. How is God pruning you? How is God preparing you, stretching you to make you more fruitful? Will you be intentional about growing and about being fruitful for His sake? I hope your answer is yes. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we give you thanks that we can call on you for all the life that we need, for all the life that we have. And we give you thanks that you have seen fit to call us into ministry in your kingdom, in your vineyard, that we, connected to you as our source of life, can produce fruit that is useful and meaningful and unique for the sake of your kingdom. Give us eyes to see how you would have us to be used, Lord, and fill us with your Spirit anew that we might produce fruit and be contributing to the well-being of this community, of our homes, of our families, even of our world. Use us in ways that we cannot even imagine so that we might bring you glory and honor through how we live. We thank you for this word and how it enriches our lives, and ask that you would use it in the weeks to come to continue to propel us forward for the sake of your kingdom. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things. Amen.